Welcome to NSPCC Learning, a series of podcasts that cover a range of child protection issues to hopefully inform, create debate, and tell you all about the work we do to keep children safe. At the heart of every podcast is the child's voice and how what they tell us informs the work we do.
Hi, and welcome to the latest NSPCC Learning podcast. This week's episode is an overview of our PANTS campaign, which aims to raise awareness and change behaviour. Now, messages such as road safety and stranger danger have been told to children for decades. But how do we talk about abuse, and in particular sexual abuse, to children that doesn't cause them to worry or feel that it's their responsibility to keep themselves safe? The NSPCC recognises that this can be really difficult for parents, carers and professionals, but also that it's an important conversation to have. And that's what our PANTS campaign is all about, providing the tools to parents and carers and professionals so that they can have simple, age-appropriate conversations with their child or children. I spoke to Ali Sultana, who is one of six local campaigns managers for the NSPCC. We talked about how the campaign has evolved since it was launched in 2012, how Ali works with communities, parents and professionals to raise awareness of the campaign, how PANTS is used in nurseries and schools, and what children think of PANTS. And for those that don't know, PANTS stands for Privates are Private. Always remember your body belongs to you. No means no. Talk about secrets that upset you. Speak up, someone can help. And since recording this podcast, I have found out that PANTS is an acrostic, not an acronym, which is how we refer to it in the podcast, so apologies to those that know the difference. PANTS was created in 2012, soon after the Jimmy Savile scandal broke. So I began by asking Ali to tell me a little bit more about why the campaign was devised.
Lots of parents, professionals, carers were contacting the NSPCC helpline and telling us that they were concerned. Because every time they opened up the newspaper or put on the telly, they were hearing about what Jimmy Savile had done, and it made them concerned about their own children. And they wanted to know how they could keep their children safe from sexual abuse. So we felt a responsibility to respond to that, and that's how the campaign was born.
It is a community-based initiative, because obviously with you being, you know, working in the community, being a safeguarding communities manager, do you work with specific communities on the PANTS campaign?
Yes, as a local campaigns manager, I work with lots of different communities on the PANTS campaign. So we work with, for example, local safeguarding boards, we work with schools, we work with local community groups, and we involve parents in our campaigns. And the idea is that we embed PANTS into normal, everyday conversations. We know that parents and carers and professionals out there who work with children can find it somewhat challenging to have these conversations or not know how to start a conversation. So the PANTS acronym is there for them to begin a conversation about staying safe, just like any other safety message.
Yeah.
You know, we talk to children about crossing the road, we talk to them about stranger danger. But what parents sometimes are surprised about is that 90% of children who are sexually abused are abused by someone that they know.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we get this message out to parents and carers and for children to feel comfortable in speaking out and staying safe.
Sure. And it is a difficult thing to broach, isn't it, with children. So you talked before about prevention, kind of things about stranger danger and crossing the road. That's quite an easy thing to talk about. This, no one wants to think that children are sexually abused, do they?
No.
It's a fact of life. It's a sad fact of life, but it's a fact of life that it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's so important. So what is, from your experience having worked within the community, how have people welcomed this, because it's a really good way in to be able to talk about what is considered to be quite a tricky conversation?
Yeah, well, as you said, it is a tricky conversation, and nobody wants to believe or think about it happening to their child, but it is a reality that it does happen, and what we want to do is prevent it from happening. And parents are very welcoming of the campaign for that reason, and sometimes they can have a little bit of anxiety about, or what does it mean, and oh, my child's doing this at school, or they've mentioned PANTS, what does it mean? So what we tend to do in our local campaigns is We deliver briefing sessions for parents as well to help them understand what the PANTS acronym stands for, why it's important that we do this, and also that it's really easy for them to weave into a natural conversation that they're having with their child. Sometimes when we're delivering a briefing session, in my experience, I can see that some parents are quite anxious. They're sitting in the room and they're waiting for me to get started and they're a little bit anxious. But by the end of it, they're really welcoming of the campaign. They want to take away the materials. They're very supportive of the conversations happening in school. And a lot of them have said that this is needed and it's going to help them to have these conversations at home as well. Because it's that parent-school relationship as well, isn't it? They want to know what's happening in school so they can reinforce those messages at home in a consistent way. And we want to be able to help them with that.
So can we talk a little bit about where PANTS came from, or at least the idea behind that?
Yes, the initial idea came from the European underwear rule.
Yeah.
And that's how the PANTS campaign evolved, really. So it was used as a safety message in Europe for a while, and we kind of took it on board and evolved it. And since then, the campaign has evolved and developed
further.
So not only do we have a guidance for parents now, we have a guidance for foster carers. And again, this is out of ask from the local community. Foster carers approached us and said, well, you've got one for parents, what about us? Because we have children in our care for a very short time, a lot of the time, and we want to ensure that we're helping them and giving them safety messages. So we worked with Fostering Network, who helps us develop a guidance for foster carers. So that's easily accessible on the website and the NSPCC website as well. So we have a parent's guidance, we have a foster carer's guidance, we have a guidance for parents who have children with special educational needs or disabilities. We have a school's resource as well that is PHSE approved. So schools can download all the materials online. They can use the lesson plans, they can use the guidance, and they can help children to remember the PANTS messages in a way that's accessible to them and they find friendly and colourful. And we're always developing new materials. So, and that's why we work with local communities to ensure that the materials that we have are accessible to them, they're meaningful, and they can easily take them away and have these conversations. We do also have guidance for parents who speak other languages as well, particularly Eastern European languages such as Polish, and they are also available. Recently, we launched the Early Years Guidance.
Oh, bro, what's that?
As well. So the Early Years Guidance is a way for early year settings such as nurseries and other private nurseries and children's centres to start those PANTS conversations in a way that's age appropriate.
Yes.
So they could put posters up for the parents to see. They can weave messages into, for example, toilet training and tell, teach children that private parts are private. That way, in a way that's accessible to them, they won't find, complicated or anything really. So we work with early years we work with early year settings to develop the resource and make it appropriate. And again, that's downloadable online. And settings can be quite creative in how they use it, really. And the same with the schools pack. They know the children best. They know their attention spans. So it's a guidance for them to be creative with and use as appropriate.
So what's the age range for? We've just talked about early years. So is it kind of 3, 4, or is it a bit younger than that even?
It could be, yeah. As soon as a child starts speaking,
nursery,
really, or starts nursery. Initially, the guidance was for children 5 and above.
Yes.
And then we developed the additional guidance for children that are younger recently. So it's up to the parent, really, whenever they feel comfortable, that they can have these conversations with their children. And what we suggest that the earlier that we have these conversations, the better, and children generally remember something that we're either going to repeat or they come across again in different ways. So the earlier that we have these conversations, the better. And these conversations can grow and develop as they get older. Exactly. So it might be that we start off with pants conversations around private parts of private, and children might ask questions, or as they're getting older, they might start to ask questions about relationships and bodies and growing up. And that's a really easy way for then parents to add to that conversation. And it kind of...
Well, like you say, as the child grows and develops, it sounds like this suite of resources around pants grows and develops with them. So it's really evolved since 2012. Mm-hmm. Are there any plans for more things in the pipeline for the development?
Potentially, yes. The last year or so, we've had Pantasaurus video.
Oh, yes.
And again, that's accessible online and on YouTube. And it's a really friendly way. It's a really friendly video of a dinosaur, Pantasaurus, and he is singing the Pantasaurus pants song, and it's a really easy way for children to remember that. I do know recently there has been one of my colleagues, another local campaigns manager, has been working on a Portuguese translation that through local asks and requests from the local community, really. So there's that. We're always developing and reviewing our materials as well. We want to ensure that they are accessible, and we are responding to local need, whereby local schools have said to us that they want to help children who have special educational needs and disabilities to remember the PANTS acronym as well. Yes. So we're looking at different ways that we can do that, and ensure that the some of the most vulnerable children are receiving those messages, and parents of those vulnerable children are receiving those messages too.
Have we got any feedback about what children think about all of the PANTS campaign?
We have indeed, actually. Yes, we've talked to children, particularly in schools, and they really love it. They really love the PANTS campaign. They think it's colourful. They love the dinosaur. Children have been very welcoming of the PANTS campaign. They remember it. They sing along to the song, and you know, some of them made their own dances along to the song. So yeah, we're really pleased as to how they're responding to it, and we always want to make sure that these messages are accessible to them.
So can we talk a little bit about impact? Mm-hmm. What impact has this made? You know, you said it started 2012, so can you give us any idea about any feedback you've had on the impact?
Of course, yeah. We certainly know that we've helped over 600,000 children through Talking Pants. Recently, for a local campaign that's relevant to me, is that we delivered a PANTS campaign in Warsaw last year, and we got through to over 6,000 children.
Wow.
In Warsaw. Yeah,
through that one campaign.
Through the one campaign.
That's amazing.
Through parents having conversations, through schools in particular that were really welcoming of the campaign as well. A lot of them delivered assemblies, delivered the lesson plans, showed the Pantasaurus video. So it was a good way of showing that message. But what we also want to emphasise that it's not the child's responsibility to stay safe.
Yes.
You know, it is up to adults to keep children safe. But what we want to encourage is that if children feel safe to talk to somebody about anything that's bothering them, or if they feel uncomfortable, and to give them the confidence to speak out.
So Ali, when's a good time for parents to possibly have conversations with their children about PANTS?
That's a very good question. It's all about weaving it into daily life. So for example, it could be when they're getting changed. It could be bath time. It could be if they're going swimming, and they could be like, well, wherever you're wearing your swimming costume or pants, those are your private parts. And it's all about breaking it down. So it's not about, come and sit here, I want to talk to you about pants today. It's very much about weaving it into daily conversation. It could be that there's something happening on the TV or the radio. They're getting changed, they're going shopping, they're sitting at the back of the car, for example. Even bedtime is a good time. You know, they're getting changed for bed, they're probably using the bathroom, they're potentially reading a story, you know, and there's lots of stories that they can use as well to help have these conversations around PANTS. I do know there is a reading list online on the NSPCC website when you go onto the PANTS pages that is age appropriate. So it breaks it down as to what books you can use for which age group to help introduce the PANTS rule. Again, this is really handy for schools as well to use in their story time, for example. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all about weaving the PANTS messages into daily life. I do know for anybody who watches Hollyoaks, they did cover the PANTS messages in there. I think it was aimed at parents to help on how to have the conversation with their children. And that was a good example of in real life, how would you have this conversation? But if any parents are having any difficulties or challenges with this, there's, you know, we are here to help as well. So you can contact the NSPCC helpline. You can contact us via email as well. And we're happy to kind of answer any questions or any anxieties that parents might have around this. Equally, if there's teachers or teaching staff out there that want to use the messages or are a little bit nervous about doing so, we're happy to talk to them and answer any questions and make sure that they've got everything they need. When we deliver a local PANTS campaign, for example, in Walsall, we work with the schools there and we worked with the early year settings there to ensure that they were confident in using some of those materials, and we talked to them about how they could embed it into the curriculum, really. And there's lots of clear curriculum links as well there. So yeah, so there's lots of materials that parents and professionals can use, and we are here to help.
I know there would be a reticence about, we spoke about this a little bit earlier, about talking to children about the subject matter of sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. So why is it important that we talk to children about that so young?
It is important because we want children to, we want to prevent sexual abuse, and we know because of the taboo and the secrecy around sexual abuse, many people don't talk about it. And even into adulthood, they don't talk about it. So we want to encourage children to speak out. Even if they're approached by somebody, if they're out and about, because we talk about other things, don't we? We talk about stranger danger and that kind of thing. So it's really important that we have these conversations to enable to prevent this type of abuse from happening. And also children go online now too, you know, so it's not all about stranger danger, or, you know, if they're out on a short break or something like that through the school or otherwise. They have access to people, and people have access to them online as well. And it's really important that we talk about these things to ensure that our children are safe, and they can go to somebody if they are, you know, being approached online, or somebody asks them to send a picture of themselves, or or they sign up to something that they shouldn't have signed up to, that it's still okay to tell somebody. So because of the secrecy and the taboo, we want to ensure that we normalise these conversations. Yes. And it's just another safety message.
Like we said before, it's not the onus on the child, is it? Because it's being fed through via parents and community workers and teachers.
Absolutely not.
The responsibility is not with the child, it's adults' responsibility.
Absolutely. So it's really important to emphasise that it's the adult's responsibility. We want to empower children, and we want to give them confidence to talk about issues that are affecting them or they're uncomfortable with. Even bullying, you know, if you have a conversation with a child around PANTS and for them to feel that, you know, their body belongs to them and it's okay to talk to somebody, you know, then even if they're being bullied at school, they will feel like they can go to somebody and open up about it. So it can affect them in lots of ways, and it will give them the confidence to do so, because we know so many children suffer for a long time before they even talk to anybody, if ever they do.
You mentioned Pantosaurus. Why was a dinosaur chosen for that?
We're very conscious of the 7 sensitivities around sexual abuse, and we're always trying to make PANTS assets as friendly and child friendly as possible. So for the campaign, creating a pant wearing dinosaur called Pantosaurus felt like a great way to make it as appealing to children, to young children especially, without making it feel too grown up or scary. We know that Pantosaurus is really well received, so we've got a life-size Pantosaurus that goes out to different events wherever there's a PANTS campaign, and he's very much welcomed, and it helps children to remember the messages, really, just like as they do if they're watching cartoons and that kind of thing. So yeah, Pantasaurus is meant to be a friendly character that children can relate to.
So Ali, unfortunately, figures tell us that recorded sexual abuse against young children continues to be high. Any idea why you think this might be so?
That could be for a number of reasons. It could be that people are feeling more confident to speak out, is one. So maybe through the campaigning activities, through the local media, people are feeling more confident to speak out. And that is a good thing. We want people to be able to speak out. Also, recently, we know the way that police forces record this abuse is different now. So the information and statistics that we're able to get from them are very more clear and concise. And that could be one other reason. Again, the internet might have another, it might add another aspect to it, because one person might have access to so many children online as well. So that could be some of the reasons. But what we want to be able to do is prevent the abuse from happening through initiatives like the Pants campaign and eradicate this abuse.
So what advice would you give to children that have experienced sexual abuse? How should they reach out? Who should they speak to?
It's really important that they do reach out, and it's really important that they should talk to somebody. Childline is available for young people up to the ages of 19 even, and they are welcome to contact Childline. It's a friendly service, it's a confidential service, and we are able to be accessed 24 hours a day. And there's different ways that children can access Childline. They can either call us the traditional way, they can text us, and they can email us as well. So we want to ensure that there is a safe space. We want to tell children that there is a safe space for them if they want to talk about it. And we do encourage them to talk about it, because sexual abuse can affect children and adults in so many ways, physically, psychologically, and it's important that they get the support that they need as soon as possible.
Great, thanks, Ali. And so where should parents and professionals, so teachers, community workers, where should they go to find out more about Talk Pants?
Mm-hmm. They can certainly go, the first, or probably easiest point of access is the NSPCC website. All the materials are online, they can download them, they can have a look at them, they can play the videos, they can access the activity packs. They can even download a game called Pantasaurus that helps parents and children remember the messages. So that's the first point of contact. If they have any other questions, or they're not sure about how to use the resources or how to start a conversation, or they're just a little bit anxious about it, they can certainly contact the NSPCC helpline. Either they can email us or they can call us, and we are happy to help and make sure that they feel comfortable in using the resources.
Sounds great. So Ali, thank you very much for talking pants with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this NSPCC Learning podcast. If you're looking for more safeguarding and child protection training, information or resources, please visit our professionals website at nspcc.org.uk/learning.